Could Gavin Brindley be our new short king? Austin Garrett from Smot Scouting joins to profile the dynamic Michigan forward.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, welcome to Locked On Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. My name is JD Young, contributor at San Jose Hockey Now, and I want to thank you for making Locked On Sharks your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts, and of course, you can watch us on YouTube as well. So we're proudly a part of the Locked On Network, where we cover your team every day. And then today we have one, Austin Garrett from Smot Scouting. He joins to discuss Gavin Brindley and what makes him such an intriguing prospect, why the Sharks should really consider drafting him either with 20 at 26 or 36 with, you know, despite his size of being only 5'8". So before we get into it with with Austin about Gavin Brindley, do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you guys by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code Locked On NHL for $20 off your first purchase. And now we bring in from Smot Scouting, Austin Garrett, making his Locked On Sharks debut. How's it going, buddy?
Going good. It's going. You nailed that pronunciation of Smot. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh,
threw me off guard there.
Enough times with talking with Josh and having his people on and stuff, and I really tried to lean into the Boston accent with it. It's because I despise Boston sports, so I don't know. It's just like this, yeah, this whole thing. So, I mean, when all your favorite teams are like either the Bay Area or South Florida, you just don't like Boston sports. But Tom Brady ruined my life for 20 years. But why we're here.
I'm based in Buffalo, so I get it.
You get it. Tom Brady ruining lives for 20 plus years in the AFC East. Somebody who hopefully will not be ruining a life, and somebody who's going to bring a lot of joy to a fan base. And I think this guy is one of the most fascinating and super exciting players in the draft. And that is one Gavin Brindley. So if you don't know who Gavin Brindley is, he's a forward with Michigan, 5'9", more short kings in the NHL, 157 pounds, 41 games this year, had 12 goals, 26 assists, and 127 shots on goal. And has really kind of, I think this season, coming into the season, really kind of established himself and really kind of rose up the draft board. So, Austin, what makes Gavin Brindley such an intriguing draft prospect?
I think it's important to start with that I know I'm one of the highest people on Gavin Brindley in the public sphere. You know, I've put Gavin Brindley inside my top 10 since early November, before his offensive explosion happened. And really, Gavin Brindley's statistical season can be broken down really into two parts, right? He had started the first 14 games with a goal and 6 points total. He had a 9-game goalless streak or scoreless streak, not even goalless streak. And, what really turned around was the last 27 games. He put up 32 points and 11 goals. And, you know, I think one of the things with Gavin Brindley that I want to kind of dispel right now is that he went to Adam Fantilli's line, and that's where the points came. I want to tell you right now that Gavin Brindley's microstat profile has always been there. He started the second line as a first-year freshman, as a second-line center. Frank Naser was hurt. Maybe that helped him a little bit establish that role. But he started as a second line center between Jackson Hallam and Rutger McGroarty. And really, that line never really gelled. You know, Jackson Hallam, super speedy, has some skill, but plays at one pace. Rutger McGroarty, exact opposite, very heady player, great shot, not a lot of pace to him. But it was Gavin Brindley who kind of drove that entire line to start the year. And it was chance after chance after chance that he generated. Just nothing was materializing for him. Midway through the year, they switch it up. They put Brindley with Fantilli. They put Sam Laskevich on his own line. And you really see the two of them take off. And, you know, I would make the argument that Gavin Brindley is what made Adam Fantilli so good in the second half of the year. And look, there's no denying that Gavin Bridley benefited from playing with Adam Fantilli, but
yeah,
Sam Moskevich is a different type of player. Sam Moskevich is a puck-driven, puck-dominant player. He looks to shoot first. He's a great passer, but like he's looking for him. He's an end of a chain league play type of player. Where Gavin Brindley's like a facilitator. He's a playmaker. He was a number one transition player on both lines, both way with Fantilli and with outside of Fantilli. So like, you give Brindley the puck, he gets over the blue line, generates some space, gives it to Fantilli in space. Fantilli's able to operate with a lot more space than maybe he was accustomed to, or he doesn't have to be the puck dominant player, so coming over the line with it. I think so. Kind of really what I wanted to dispel with Gavin Brindley is that, you know, I think the public consensus is that he is an up and down the lineup player, very high motor, one of the most defensively responsible players in the entire draft. You can see the speed, you can see the skill. A lot of people wonder how it translates to the NHL. And to me, I see a player that just needs to get stronger. Yeah. He's 5'8", pushing 5'9", but he's like 160, 162 pounds. So like a lot of his game, as tenacious as he is, he could get bumped off the puck really quickly, easily. That with some strength, I think like he's not afraid to go to the interior. He's not afraid to go to the dirty areas. He will throw his weight around, whatever weight he has. But he's not a perimeter player like some of these smaller guys that we could talk about like later on in the podcast. That I think that what makes Gavin Brindley so special in this draft class is that he can play in your top six. He has that potential. But like at worst case scenario, like even if you saw at the World Juniors, he played on the fourth line and he was a tenacious defender, the transition player, making everything happen on the fourth line for Team USA. So I think he has that projectability to play up and down in an NHL lineup. And for me personally, I see a very high offensive ceiling.
Okay, so what is the one skill that you think is going to kind of be his calling card when he gets to the NHL? What's the one, like the most translatable skill for him?
You know, I grew up a Sabres fan, so there's a little bit of Nathan Gerby to him in terms of like he's Nathan Gerby. If you don't remember him, for younger people, I'm in my late 30s, so but 5'5", but just a scrappy.
Yeah,
like get in your face, physical type of player. He's not afraid to go up against anyone. And that's really what Gavin Bridley, you'll always see Gavin Bridley in front of the net, hitting people. He's not afraid to get into the physical aspect of this game. But I think the other aspect in terms of his offensive ceiling is that no matter what, I think Gavin Brindley's between his skating ability, his puck skill, and his ability, he's so smart with the puck that his transition ability to take the puck in and out of the zone and generate controlled offensive transitions, whether it's exiting the zone or entering the zone, is going to be what translates no matter what to the NHL.
And then, of course, we know he's small and he needs, like every other 17-year, 18-year-old, he needs to put on weight and put on muscle. But what do you think is like the skill that he needs to kind of continue to develop as he, you know, continues his college career and then his pro career?
So I've been doing this a while. And I would say I've been in amateur ranks since about 2010. And I will say like one of the biggest influence on me was the late William Skouch and the microstat tracking. So once that got into me in about 2019, I've kind of done my own data tracking, not as extensive as Will used to do it, but I found about five or six really categories that I really hone in on. Brindley is kind of top notch in so many of them, but the one area that I think could really improve upon is his high danger passing. He's a facilitator in the offensive zone right now. A lot of low to high passes, a lot of like keeping the control of the puck in the offensive zone. He's the beginning of a chain link play. He's the middle of a chain link play, but driving that primary kind of like slot pass, driving that primary playmaking ability. In my data set, he's about 13-14% of his total passes that went dangerous area, which, you know, compared to some of the top point producers in this draft, like it's about 10% points below that. But a lot of, if I were going to like caveat that with the positive, a lot of Michigan's offense, like, was very innovative. You know, they operate a lot in what Naruto called the high zone. So like a lot of the play generates up near the top above the faceoff circles and then facilitates down. So like Brindley, a lot of his passes, while not maybe to the slot, generated a lot of things. When you have Seamus Casey and Luke Hughes on the back end too, Like
it does help.
it does kind of like distort a little bit. Like a lot of his passes that he would make like that. It was an Ethan Edwards who had a breakout year. Like they had a lot of offensive talent on the back end, and he would facilitating play. But I would like to see him keep the puck on his stick a little bit longer to drive more primary assists.
All right, guys, before we finish up with Austin, we talk about Brindley and kind of compare him to Bortolo, a little Ozzie Weisbach comparison. Do want to take a quick break and talk to you guys about our friends over at Game Time. Summertime now, you're trying to get out to as many events as possible, and we know buying tickets can be such a hassle sometimes. With Game Time, you don't have to worry about that. They take all the stress out of it and make it easy. They're the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets for your sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. They have killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantees. So you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. They have flash deals, especially on last minute tickets. So if you're kind of a procrastinator, or you're just like, hey, the weather's great, I want to go see the Giants play today. Boom, they got you covered. They have images of the seats, so that way you know you're going to have a great seat. You don't have to get there and then you're disappointed because of your seat. Lowest price guarantee on all their seats. If you find a ticket in the same section, the same row for less, Game Time will give you 110% credit of the difference. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Makes sense. And again, like you said, I mean, it's hard to, with the Michigan team like this, right? You know, you have a Fantilli, you have a Luke Hughes, you have so many high or soon to be high draft picks. Like, how is it hard to kind of get lost for a guy like Gavin Brindley, where it's like, I know this, you said his production probably could have been better maybe if he was on a different line in the start of the season. Is it hard to kind of separate? Well, like, yeah, he's got Luke Hughes, or he's got Fantilli, or he's got this super stacked team. Is it hard to kind of watch him and scout him and be like, how much of it is him or how much of it is just the team?
It's an excellent question. In my smart scouting report, I kind of preface this in the beginning, and I'm like, I don't think there's a prospect I've watched more than Gavin Brindley this year. And it was simply for the fact that, if I'm being very truthful, I wanted to knock him back. I loved him so much. And I was like, I need to watch him and be like, why do I like this kid so much?
Find me a reason to hate you.
Like, exactly. And so when I kept watching him, I would say to you like that I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that he was probably the second, if not third, most important forward on that team. Like, he was thrown out in every situation, penalty kill, power play. He plays so smart. He so many times he sacrifices his body to make the right play, that like he plays the game in a way that if I were to teach my child how to play the game, I would be like, watch Gavin Brindley, you know, like, he plays a full 200-foot game. You can put him in any situation. You could trust him in any situation. So I think from an essence of like, maybe he's not Samoskevich or Fantilli in terms of like being able with that. Both of those two have wicked shots. And I think Brindley's shot isn't as heavy as either of them. It's not beating goalies from distance like either of them. But like, just in terms of like impacting play and always making the right play, like there's a reason why they were almost 60% Corsi when he was on the ice. It's not just because they were a wagon. He was driving a second line without Fantilli for the majority, if not half the season.
All right. So we know, you know, he's a short king. If he was 6'2", would we be talking him as a top five pick?
I know we're going to talk about another Sharks prospect, Michigan product, later in the podcast, but I would say it's never a clean player comparison.
Yeah.
But he, if I were going to compare him to another Michigan player, he reminds me so much of Matthew Beniers.
That's right. If he's the short version of Matthew Beniers is what I've heard. Yes.
Yeah. If he was 6'2", I think you're talking about the number two pick in the draft. You know what I mean? Like, the reality is that he's 5'8". So much of it, and if you read any scouting report, and trust me, any scouting report ranking that comes out, I control F Gavin Brindley first to see like, what is anyone saying bad about this kid? Because I haven't seen it all year. And it's like, number one thing, he's small. How does this translate? You know, that's the biggest question he has. But if he had 6'1", 190, like, I would dare anyone to find a fault in this game.
That's fair. So you kind of touched on it. We talked, Sharks already have their short king Michigan player in Thomas Bortolo. Bortolo is really nice start to his AHL season and then kind of fell off. But you know, you still see the promise. Compare their games. I know I would assume Bortolo is more kind of not as tenacious, a little bit more creative compared to Brindley. Is that a fair?
I'll be honest. So Bortolo was haven't watched a ton of Bortolo since his draft year. I've seen a couple of AHL games. I was prepping myself in case we ran into him in the as a Rochester fan. But I would say that, you know, archetype wise, I would say Bortolo much more perimeter skilled, played at a lesser pace than Brindley did. I would say where he kind of takes Brindley is Bortolo really amazing, especially in his D+1. Yep. At like finding seams off puck, finding teammates in slot areas and dangerous areas, that Brindley still, I think that's really his next iteration of his game. I think defensively, I would take Brindley even right now, just in terms of how engaged and how hard on pucks he is. But I would say like Bortolo is the type of player you're hoping becomes an offensive play driver, playmaker. Might operate on the perimeter on a power play, and Brindley's going to be kind of like, he might not play on your top power play ever. Like, I don't think that's a realistic expectation for him, or even maybe even playing on the power play.
I don't know. Have you seen the Sharks power play unit too? It's you and I might be able to make the power play unit too right now. It's pretty gruesome out there.
But you do have one of my favorite prospect pools in the entire league. So I'm hoping like people like Ozzy Wiseblad and Daniil Gushin like really come up, and Thomas Bortolo, mm-hmm. for example, like they all come up and they kind of fill the roles that we all expect them to play. But I don't know. I think when you look at Gavin Brindley, I see an extremely gifted 5-on-5 player, one of the best penalty killers probably that will come out of this draft. And then you're really hoping that the next iteration of Gavin Brindley, what you see next year when Sam Moskevich and probably Fantilli leave the program, is the primary offensive driver on their first line. So I think there's a lot of ceiling for Brindley right now, but I would say Bortolo I would lean offensively, but the rest of it, I would go Brindley.
I mean, Brindley kind of sounds just like a lot like Ozzy Wiseblatt, because that's kind of Ozzy Wiseblatt's game too, is that like probably a more skilled Ozzy Wiseblatt, but like that tenacious, I'm going to, you know, kind of be in your face type of player, you know, and Ozzy's not the biggest guy either. So, I mean, this kind of feels like, you know, Mike Greer's type of player. Again, we know Mike Greer wants that kind of compete level. And it sounds like Brindley does not give up a shift ever, does he?
No, and truthfully, I would say, you know, I saw, we're on a Sharks podcast, but I mentioned Nashville. I saw a tweet about Barry Trotz telling his scouts that go draft me the people that will get out of your seats.
Yeah.
And if that is the mindset of what Mike Greer wants to do, Gavin Brindley should be one of the front runners for this draft pick, for the second draft pick for the Sharks, because look, there's not a lot of players when we get to the second or the bottom half of the first round, they're going to be able to get you out of your seat like Gavin Brindley is going to be able to.
All right, before we finish up with Austin, we talk about some of his, he gives four of his picks. Guys that as Sharks fans, we should be rooting for the Sharks to pick at the end of the first, beginning of the second round. Some of his guys that kind of get him out of his seat. But before we do that, do need to take a quick break. Talk to you guys about our friends over at Bird Dogs. I have to admit, Bird Dogs have become a staple of my weekend attire, right? You guys know dad life, you're running around, you got soccer in the morning, maybe you're at Target, you're at Costco, maybe you're barbecuing, maybe you're just like, screw it, I'm gonna go to the brewery. Bird Dogs let you kind of live whatever lifestyle you need to live and do it comfortably. They're designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg to kind of give you a nice sculpted look without having to kind of really try at it. If you're like me, Bird Dogs, the great thing about them is they have the underwear built in, so you don't have to worry about like things sticking together. They have an anti-stick sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long, and plenty of different styles, plenty of different options. If you like a little bit more inseam, they got you covered there. Want to show off a little bit more legs? So make sure you guys are going to check them out. Like I said, they become a staple in my weekend attire. I have to wear my Bird Dogs Saturday and Sunday. So go to birddogs.com/lockedonNHL. Enter the promo code LockedOnNHL and get a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/lockedonNHL for a free Yeti style tumbler. You won't want to take your bird dogs off. We promise you. All right. So before we continue, or before we kind of finish up, want to ask about some of your favorite kind of back end of the first half. Kind of back in the first half, beginning of the second, some of the guys in there, guys maybe that get you out of your seat, Austin. So I'm going to let you take it away. Which guy gets you out of your seat other than Gavin Brindley, who we know really floats your boat?
I would say I'm going to give you four names. Okay. The first one is just kind of like the dream player. Like if I were a Sharks fan, who I'd be hoping fell to me. And that's Andrew Kristel from Kelowna in the WHL. He's been dropping in a lot of consensus rankings since the U18s. He couldn't find a role on the, on the Canadian team, kind of found himself in like the Fantilli role that the World Juniors that he found himself in, of kind of floating around the lineup. Where does he begin? Yep. Andrew Kristel was the best playmaker in my entire data set. I've repeated this on podcast after podcast, but he completed more passes than most other forwards attempted. So like he was the premier playmaker in the WHL. He doesn't play much defense in terms of defensively engaged. But look, he was the last one back a lot of the time. He flew the zone a lot for Kelowna, but a lot of that strategic. Kelowna didn't have a really strong forward group, so he was kind of told like, hey, go out and when you get the puck, go make things happen. Yep. His biggest knock is going to be size to skating ratio, which it seems to be a very popular jargon term right now. But his skating mechanics are fine. Like they're actually really good. He's just really undersized. So like with more muscle, more strength, I got to imagine he's going to be able to separate himself from players. He has a 10-2 skating style that's kind of reminiscent of Jeff Skinner from Buffalo. He is very manipulative with the puck. He'd be someone I would be like praying if I were the Sharks to take a swing on, especially because you have two first round picks. Mm-hmm. He screams the type of second round high upside player I would take. On the defensive side, I think the guy I would look is Mikhail Guliyev. Out of Russia, the MHL. I've seen mock drafts where he's not even in the first round anymore. I thought he only got better as the season went on. I'm not a Russian scout. I'm mostly based in North America, but for the rankings, we always go back and kind of compare. So I've seen him about six or seven times. And when he has the puck on a stick in the MHL, there's no one who's touching him. He's super fast, super deceptive, so much puck skill. It's very rare to see a defenseman with that kind of puck skill and not get the type of hype that he should be getting. And the reason is because, as you said, defense is for nerds. The MHL is a tough style of defense to really evaluate. And then even with that, he really wasn't that engaged in the MHL. So there's a huge question mark about what he's going to be as a defenseman. But I think if you're looking to like take that giant swing of a upside of an offensive defenseman, Mikhail Guliyev would be the guy I would look at.
He also fits the profile of only drafting or only acquiring left-handed defensemen. So perfect for the Sharks. I think they have like six or seven in their pipeline and they have one right-handed defenseman.
I don't really care about handedness. As long as you're comfortable on the right side.
Yeah.
If you can play on your right side, I don't care what hand you are, but if you're not comfortable, it's a different ball game. I think in terms of, I'm talking like realistic players that might fall in there. The one I'd be most excited for kind of falling into that range, might be, I like Jaden Perron a lot out of the USHL. I don't know if he find a fits. He's a little bit more scary than Gavin Brindley in the essence that he really never played in the interior as a 5'8" forward. His skating isn't really up to Brindley's standard, but his passing ability is ridiculous. His skill is ridiculous. In my own data set, he was the second best playmaker in North America behind Andrew Kristel. And I think so much of what he can do with the puck on his stick is wild and crazy that with a long development curve, he's going to the NCAA. You're not stuck with a 2-year development curve in the CHL. He has that kind of like long runway that he's someone I'm definitely really interested in. The next one is kind of the last one I would say is a long shot, but someone who's like near and dear to my heart is Bradley Nadeau out of the BCHL. Their top point producers haven't been doing so great in the NHL in terms of translating the scoring roles, but the kid just rips shots. One of the best shots in the entire class. Great fan. He's a fantastic skater. He was almost 58% offensive involvement rate, which is wild and crazy. If you're listening to this and have no idea what I'm talking about, like, I typically look for about 40% offensive involvement rate for transition because it means the puck's on your stick. 50% is really good. Connor Bedard was 63%. So this kid in the BCHL is really kind of ripping it up. 36% of his passes went to high danger, which was one of the top in the entire data set. But once again, he's playing the BCHL.
Yep.
My biggest concern with him is really just it's really hard to gauge the BCHL in terms of what it's going to mean to the NHL. And I wish he was going and this isn't a shot at the University of Maine, but University of Maine, since it's been since like Paul Kariya, since they've had like a reputable hockey program that's kind of gone far in the NCAA tournament. Him and his brother are both going in the next year. Hopefully they make it into something, but it will be interesting to see like what the quality of his line mates, quality competition kind of plays into, goes into play with him. But in terms of skill set, like he's someone, if you were a bet on fun type of prospect person like I am, that's where I would go.
Okay. All right. Last two questions before we get you out of here. One, 5 years from now, I'm still doing this podcast because Locked On can't find anybody else to replace me. Who is the best non-Connor Bedard division player in the draft?
Five
years from now.
I'm going Matvei Michkov.
You're going Michkov. Okay.
I think it's a toss-up between him and Fantilli, but I just watching Michkov after he got loaned in the KHL, I just find it hard to believe. I mean, this isn't the scout of me talking. This is more like just like the hockey fan. Like, just you go back 2 years ago to the U18s when both him and Bedard were there, and the hype that was surrounding the two of them, the shot Michkov had, the World Juniors before it got canceled, and Russia kind of never came back from it. Like, I think Michkov is just not in the mainstream right now.
Yeah,
like if you're not a public scout, or if you're not going on YouTube watching the MHL, you're kind of just being, all you're hearing about is the contract.
Yeah, the contract, and there's all like the character concerns and all the like other stuff with him. Yeah, like there, where that's just like the kid can rip it, man.
And he's so good off the puck, and all the concerns. You know, shout out to Sam McGilligan. He kind of wrote the treatise in the middle of the year about like the concerns about.
He came on, he wrote the thing, he came, and I had him, he did my Michkov profile, and he was like, I was an idiot, I was wrong, Michkov's awesome.
No, look, Sam did a 180, I think we all did a 180, but Sam's piece was perfect at the time of like where we all were with Michkov, of like, we all know what's there, but what is he doing? And then all of a sudden in the second half of the year, it was wild.
Yeah.
So I would say, I would bet on Michkov's ceiling. I think Fantilli's probably the safest bet, but I would go Michkov.
Okay. All right. And then the last question, where in the draft does one Gavin Brindley go?
Oh gosh. I'm going to say early second round.
Early second round. You got to give me a pick.
Gosh, I honestly think he could be the Sharks' second round pick. Because I just, the NHL is starting to trend a little bit more back to size. And I think, while I think Gavin Brindley's skating makes up for it, I think there's a giant question mark if his offensive ability is going to be able to translate to the NHL. And that's just from a consensus standpoint. Look, you're talking to the biggest Gavin Brindley fan probably out there. So I have him.
I think his mom would probably say a word to that, but
true. If his mom has him ninth or higher, I'll give him his mom. But like, I really do think this kid, like, if you were going to ask me the question 5 years from now, who do I think people are kicking themselves over? I think it's going to be Gavin Brindley.
That's normally another question. So, cause I usually, the first question I usually ask people, like when they're the first time on the show, is who's the best player. And then the second question is their second appearance is usually who's the player 5 years from now where we're like, wow, how did this guy fall? And you think it's Gavin Brindley for you?
I think it's going to be one of two players. I think it's going to be Gavin Brindley or Andrew Kristol. I think one of those two players, I think Crystal's just kind of got this weird vibe going into the draft to him where, you know, I think most of us in the public sphere had him like 6 to 10, and then you're seeing him just drop in consensus right now.
Yep.
And then I think Brindley, I think there's, and look, I don't want to undersell that the offensive upside is not guaranteed. I just see so much in what he does that mm-hmm. I find it really hard that it won't, like, with more strength. And he's just so tenacious, you know. In the world of Instat, where you can watch just individual player stats, it's really hard to get a generalized, like, what this impact of a player is on the whole game, because you're watching shift by shifts. But, like, watching Gavin Brindley throughout a game, like, you get energized when Gavin Brindley's on the ice. You know when he's there. You know what he's doing. Like, there's an obvious lull when he goes off the ice. You know, it's a weird feeling to have as a scout, especially. But it's like, when you do this for so long, there's certain players that, like, when they hit the ice, you know, they're like, another example, like William Whitelaw is like this as well. Like, mm-hmm. you know when William Whitelaw's on the ice, whether or not he makes the right play every time, different story. But, like, when William Whitelaw's on his game and on the ice, you know where William Whitelaw's is, and you know he's dictating play. So to have those type of players, kind of, like, they always excite me. They usually pan out more times than not. So you're not going to find me say a bad thing about Gavin Brindley.
Austin, you've said it all. Where can the people find you, buddy?
So I'm on Twitter at bmaster716. Currently write for Smart Scouting. You can check out my profiles. I just did Gavin Brindley that just came out. Have Oliver Moore coming out sometime this week, who is he has my heart as well. So the two of my favorite prospects coming out right before the draft.
All right. Thanks, buddy. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks, JD. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for checking out Locked On Sharks today. Gavin Brindley definitely rising up the I really want the Sharks to draft him type of situation, especially if they go center Will Smith on the first round, or not the first round, if they go number four overall, and it's kind of feels like that's going to be the pick, at least a couple weeks out right now. Gavin Brindley is a swing, an upside swing type of player where, you know, it despite his size at 5'8", I think he plays that Mike Greer type of game that he is looking for, of just that tenacious, in your face, never give up, compete type of a player that Mike Greer is looking for. And I would be very excited to get to watch Gavin Brindley going forward and get to watch more Gavin Brindley on Michigan, where he's probably got a chance of kind of almost, I don't want to say being the guy next year, but maybe kind of being the guy next year. So thanks again to Austin. Thanks again to Smart Scouting for all they do. If you guys want to be an everydayer for Locked On Sharks, just come back tomorrow. We have a very special guest tomorrow. Don't want to spoil it, but one of the Sharks prospects making his Locked On Sharks debut. So make sure you guys are back for that tomorrow on Friday. You guys can follow the show wherever you get podcasts, and of course watch on YouTube as well, and follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Locked On Sharks. Follow me on Twitter at my Fryhole, and until tomorrow, bye friends.